Good morning. It's Thursday, January 9th, 2025, and you've tuned into the morning show here on 88.5 KRFY. I'm Jack, and across from me, as usual, is Jim. Good morning, Jim. Here we are another week, a second of 52 into 2025. How are you this morning?
Doing fine. I like the way you say 2025.
I'm not used to it yet. Me neither.
Maybe come November, I'll be good with it.
I was recently on my last birthday. I was writing in a position where I had to write a check, and I started filling in the date, and I instantly wrote the year I was born rather than the current year. That was last.
By the way. Many of our listeners might not know what a check is. You know, now that you think about it, that everything is done with a credit card or just tapping it and Zamo, you don't have to look at a date. But a check is a piece of paper that you'd write on what you owe someone and you sign it and you have to put the date in, you know.
And for some reason, we all just accepted these things for a long time. And apparently we still do. Well, this is money. I signed it.
Yeah, anybody who was born like in the year 2000 would be 24 this year, 25. Mm-hmm. Would they know what a check is? Or a payphone?
I think so. Around the table, we're all nodding. We know. Payphone, maybe not. Payphone, you might not recognize. But
anyway, happy 2025.
Happy 2025. We're talking today, and I'll get to the weather in just a moment, but I want to say also in the room with us, Joyce Jowdy, who is the Community Engagement and Adult Programming Coordinator for the East Bonner County Library. Also here, Jennifer Steinbachs from Syringa Wellness. Good morning to you both.
Morning.
Good morning.
Happy 2025.
Why, thank you.
we're talking about the upcoming Natural Connections program and Spanish for Travelers and other stuff, surely. But should I jump right into the weather, you suppose, Jim?
Go for it, because...
Lacking anything else we urgently need to talk about?
Having got through January and thus far, 9 days into 2025, and not having used the snow shovel here in town.
Yeah.
Amazing. But I've talked to skiers.
Yeah.
And they're smiling.
It does seem to be happening just right to keep everybody somewhat happy. I personally could use a little more snow down here, but you're right. It's been very easy on the road maintenance and lawn care. There's not too much snow shoveling to do down here. On the other hand, they're getting plenty of snow up on the mountain. Everybody's happy.
My heart goes out to the people who make their living during the winter months shoveling snow. Not shoveling, but snow removal. And, now that we're all cozy here in town and got through the holidays, let it dump.
Yeah. You know what I will say? I would say when the holidays fall on a Wednesday, on a Tuesday, Wednesday, when Christmas Eve is a Tuesday, and then Christmas Day is a Wednesday, and then the same thing happens the following week. Boy, that throws me off. I think it throws off a lot of people. I don't know how many people I talked to on Thursday who thought it was a Monday, and on Friday who thought it was a Tuesday last week.
When I rule the world,
among
other things besides leaves falling in a 24-hour period, and that's it. No more leaves will fall.
I can't believe I'm not writing these things down.
Yeah, write these things down. Should. When Jim rules the world, Christmas and New Year's cannot fall on a Wednesday. You're absolutely correct. It just, I felt like, is this a Saturday when it was a Thursday?
Yeah.
Am I the only one, Joyce and Jennifer?
I don't know. I have to admit, I'm being distracted by your shirt, Jim. It says Fabulosa Books. Did you wear that in honor of the library coming today?
What do you think, sweetie?
It's a really cool shirt. I know your listeners can't see it, but it's got this really dynamic woman on the front, and it's a powerful shirt.
It's pink on
black, by the way.
A bookstore in the Castro in San Francisco, and this is Attack of the 50-Foot Woman. If you know that that movie poster. And it's one of my favorites. And of course I wore it because we just love to have the librarians with us. I'm glad that, well, here's what, let me stand up and hold it close to the microphone so people can see.
Oh, now they can see the bottom. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And where it's even located and everything. Looking good on you.
Thank you, Joyce.
A great way to start the new year, Jim.
It is. Weather report for our area. This comes to us from the National Weather Service. Ready? A chance of flurries today and a high of 35 degrees, mostly cloudy tonight, and a low down to 28. Tomorrow, it does look like we're getting some kind of precipitation, and especially early in the day, it might even come as snow. Snow before 1 p.m. and snow then possibly mixed with rain in the afternoon. The high is 33, but we do have a 90% chance of precipitation.
Whoa.
We might get an inch, according to NOAA here. Chance of snow and then patchy fog on Friday night with a low of 27. And on Saturday, the high is 33. Patchy fog and then partly sunny. More or less the same on Sunday. Patchy fog and partly sunny. The lows overnight, though, getting pretty chilly on Saturday and Sunday, down to 20 degrees Fahrenheit. And if you trust the forecast into next week, it looks like basically this continues. Although, actually, it's not going to be sunny. It looks like it's going to be cloudy next week. And but the high continuing to be right around freezing, 31 on Monday and 33 on Tuesday. And, yeah. So I guess the snow that we're going to get is going to come tomorrow, according to this, and it's only going to be about an inch. And, you know, but the cooler temperatures means it might, who knows, it might not all evaporate right away. We had a nice blanket of snow, I think, yesterday morning, and then it was gone by noon.
Well, the ground is not frozen.
No, it's too warm.
And so, therefore, yeah. You know, the snow hits it and goes away.
We might have to go to Tennessee. I was looking at the weather report where my sister lives, and they were supposed to get 4 inches of snow.
Boy, parts of the eastern part of the country and central part have been getting dumped. And, it's all where, and I'm quite sure L.A. area would like to get some moisture.
Yeah. That was the end of Democracy Now. Our lead-in show was all about the California wildfires right now.
Amazing.
Tough. Yeah, bad times. Well, how about talking about something else?
Let's talk about tonight at the library.
Well, yeah. Ironically, it's called Let's Talk About It.
Okay, well, let's talk before we go too far. Mm-hmm. For some people might not know where the library is located.
Well, it is in downtown Sandpoint at 1407 Cedar Street. So it's on the corner of Division and Cedar Street in Sandpoint. And tonight at 5:30, you can join us and Janice Johnson, who is our scholar, who's going to be leading the discussion, the Let's Talk About It discussion about The Firekeeper's Daughter, which was the book that we've been reading. But really quick, I'd like to share with folks what Let's Talk About It is. It is sponsored by the Idaho Commissions for Libraries and funded by the Idaho Humanities Council and the Museums of Libraries and National Endowment for the Humanities. They've all made it happen. And locally, our Friends of the Library and our Bonner County Human Rights Task Force has also sponsored it. And basically what it is, it's a program where they have different themes. And our theme this year that we chose was through Indigenous Story, An Invitation to Understanding. So all the books relate to that theme. And folks in the communities read those books provided by ILFC. So you can check out those books. And then we have a scholar. This time it's Janice. She teaches ethnic American literature at U of I, as well as she also does film courses at U of I and is the director of the Black Studies program. So she's coming up from Lewiston today at 5:30, and we're going to talk about that first book in the series. And if you missed out, you can still come. It'll be an interesting discussion regardless. And then February 13th, we'll be having the discussion around the next book, which is An American Sunrise by Joy Harjo. Many of you remember, she's U.S. Poet Laureate. And then on March 13th, we'll be going over Bury My Heart at Chuck E. Cheese by Tiffany Midge. And so these are all books by Indigenous authors and gives us all an opportunity to hear firsthand contemporary issues, discussion, points of view, and all of that. And so there'll be an active discussion with prompts and facilitation and all that. So I encourage people to come out tonight for that.
Even if you have not read tonight's work, The Firekeeper's Daughter, that go and get a feel for what it's like and maybe take the book home and read it between now and, because the next series is a book of poetry.
Right. And this first one, some people weren't real sure because it's technically marked young adult, but I can tell you I know a woman who's 80 who read it and enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. It's really good. The only thing that makes it, I guess, maybe young adult is the main character and the main storyline is from that point of view of a young adult. But it's fascinating. You learn all sorts of culture, history, everything. Amen.
Right. So. And we're all young adults, correct?
That is true.
You know, okay, yeah. Good. That is tonight at the library. This is the first part of the series. Is it only three books?
It's after only March? Three books.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is this an ongoing series? Like next year, there'll be other choices?
Well, it depends if we get selected again. So they select us. I had applied in 23. We didn't get it, but we got it in 24. So that's why this is kind of a really big deal for us. And we've been encouraging people for a while now, obviously, to check it out. And there's other authors in the series. We could only pick three books, but there's other books, and we're acquiring those for the library collection. So even if we couldn't pick them for the discussion, still come out to the library, check them out. There's some amazing, amazing authors out there.
And it says here that the series has been going on in public libraries since 1985. And
throughout the state.
Exactly.
And all different libraries.
I think it's wonderful to have someone come in from elsewhere who can shed light and a perspective on what's being read.
Mm-hmm. And it's really an opportunity for the community to come together and talk about these kinds of issues and concerns that are raised in the book and perspectives.
Exactly.
And, you know, after all, we are on traditional Kalispell land right where we are here. So,
I have not read the book. Did you read it, Joyce?
Yes, I did. It was excellent.
You did? Okay.
Yeah, she has a great way of words. I think it might be her first full-length novel, and it's amazing. Very the way it's phrased and very serious topics. You know, it's not a little kid's book. Lots of issues that, you know, but they're real-world issues.
Yeah. Well, it should be a fascinating discussion. That's tonight at the library. Very cool. Jim, have you read it, by the way?
No, I have not.
Or anyone else? Jennifer?
No, I haven't.
It hasn't found its way into the huge stack of books.
It is a really good book. I mean, and like I said, it's not, you don't feel like, if it didn't have YA on it, I would have never thought it was a YA book. I would have been just like, you know, this is a novel of real life in these times.
I'm going to ask a logistical question here. Like, looking ahead at the book of poetry, do you have a whole bunch of copies ready at the library? Okay. So if you want to read that poetry book in time for the next discussion, the library can.
Yeah, just come to the information desk, ask for the book, and then check it out like you would check out any of our other books.
Yeah.
And then you can bring it back at the next discussion time.
Cool.
And pretty much we're doing one and then the other, you know, like a month, giving you a month for each book. And these are all provided by the commission. So that's the advantage of the program.
Is it typical that it's a three book, you know, when you say you applied for it last year, is it just 3 months, three books or?
Yeah, three books. And and usually it's once a month, but there's all different kinds of themes, you know, and some are funny and humorous and some are, you know, very serious. Sure. And this is the first year that they've done this theme. Okay. And it just really appealed to me. There's some awesome books in that. Some that many people have probably heard of, you know.
Okay. Tonight, 5:30 at the library. Let's talk about it. Kicks off the book discussion series for the next 3 months.
Well, what else is coming up at the library?
What else, perchance?
Well, some people,
because they're
used to it being snowy here, have this thing about traveling in the winter. I don't know. Is anybody going to get out on any big trips this year?
Not me.
I have a brother in San Diego. I might try to go see before the, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, just in case anybody out there is going somewhere that you might need or want to speak Spanish, we're doing a Spanish for Travelers class. Uh-huh. And Jeffrey is from Costa Rica originally, and so Spanish is his first language, and so who better to learn from? Mind you, he also knows like 5 or 6 other languages, but, you know, Spanish obviously is key for him. And next Wednesday, January 15th at 5:30, he is going to start. We're going to do an introductory program. And if people are interested, and it seems like we're getting pretty good signups, he's going to do a twice a month class.
Oh, cool.
So you keep building on it, you know, so you can get different aspects of it and practice and have that whole discussion thing. Does anybody here speak Spanish?
Oh, a little bit. I took it in high school. This is funny because actually I think my in-laws are leaving on literally the day before and heading to a Spanish-speaking country. And, you know, they've been practicing as well as they can, but that's not their... certainly not their first or second or even third language, I don't think.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, he'll be going over the basics, you know, and those typical, and he's going to really look for input from the people who are attending to meet their needs as best as he can. And so, you know, things like greetings and, you know, food, restaurants, you know, the typical things. How do you pronounce the street signs or the things you're asking? Phonetic spelling, all the different kinds of things. And, you know, each time would probably build on it. And he'll be doing it on the 15th. And then if there is interest, the next one would be Monday. He'll switch to a Monday series, January 27th, I think is the last Monday of the month. Mm-hmm. And then the second and fourth Monday of February, which is the 10th and the 24th. And those will be 5:30 to 6:30. At the Sandpoint Library. Registration is recommended just because he kind of feels you out for kind of your background, what you're interested in and stuff like that, but it's not required. So if you just wake up that morning and decide you want to learn Spanish, go for it.
How does one register? You mentioned register.
Well, you go to our website, and thanks for asking that, Jim, because for all of our programs, you want to go to ebonnerlibrary.org and then go to the events page. There's a little calendar emblem, and you click on the date, and it'll show you more. Or you can go to the top bar where it says audiences and pick the audience. If you're looking for adult programs, youth programs, click on it, scroll down, and you'll see upcoming programs. And when you click on the actual program you're interested in this case, since there is a registration, you'll see a big old registration button. You click on it, and you follow those prompts.
So that's next Wednesday, the 15th, the Ides of January. 5:30 to 7 at the Sandpoint Library. And, you know, I think it's important that it increases your quality of your experience of the country wherever you're going to pick up a little. I have to admit, though, that I'm a victim of technology, that I was in Spain for 6 weeks this past fall. And with Google Translate, we went through museums, and you just put it on your camera and you hold it over that in Spanish and it comes back. And so I got really lazy. Menus in restaurants, I would put on Google Translate. So I think this is a great way to, I was very passive in my experience with the language. So this is something that's very active and engaging.
Yeah.
Well, and I think it is really good for people to know, I mean, you're going to another country for a different experience. So why bring your own baggage of your own language fully with you, and instead of exploring what's really there? And it doesn't mean you have to take a trip. These are the basics that'll apply for anybody. He just thought that might be handy for folks and a good way to package it so you you get the highlights and people realize that it's entertaining that way. And who knows, coming in March, on March 29th, as part of our Natural Connections program, we're going to be having a program about the Camino de Santiago. So who knows, if anybody's planning on going to that, get prepared here, doing the Spanish, you know, it's all working together.
Jim knows a thing or two about the Camino de Santiago.
Ooh, have you done it?
Twice. That's where I was for 6 weeks last fall. I do know a little bit about it.
Okay. Well, you'll have to come share your experience too on the 29th. We get to compare experiences from those who've gone.
29th is a what day?
Saturday. Our Natural Connections programs, other than November, are on Saturday. They go 10 to 4. One for January is on the 25th, but that one's going to be March 29th.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And these are programs, by the way, folks. The Natural Connections is all-day event. You can go for the program you're interested in or all day, and all different topics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
With different time slots, different modalities of learning, expression, discovery, trying to bring the community together and learn and explore and discover together.
Spanish for Travelers, though, is January 15th.
Yes. Next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday. And then the follow-up series will be on Mondays.
¿Dónde está la biblioteca?
1407 Cedar Street.
That's the first question that I think you'll probably need to learn. Where is the library in Spanish? That would really start there. I mean, if you travel someplace else, just say, ¿Dónde está la biblioteca?
Yeah. Yep.
they'll help you out. Tell us, is there anything more to say about the instructor? How did he come to you?
That's really interesting. Yeah. One of the things some people don't realize is that the library has a plethora of volunteers, but we can always use more. In fact, they're on a recruitment mission.
Mm-hmm.
And this gentleman is relatively new to our community, and he is his profession is a psychologist. He's a clinical psychologist. But because he cares so much about his language, he wanted to share. And so he became a volunteer at the library and was like, okay, what can I do as a volunteer? And so he's volunteering to teach this class.
Cool.
And so he wants to provide opportunities for people to converse in Spanish, learn Spanish, and not even just for traveling. Let's face it, there's a lot of people who speak Spanish in our country.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice to be able to communicate with people in their own language and broaden our own horizons.
This is great. Monday's continuing after this, but starting on Wednesday, January 15th, 5:30 p.m. at the Sandpoint Library. You guys like that 5:30 p.m. time slot, it seems like.
Well, I kind of started that because nobody would really answer me. They wanted to be able to come after work, but they won't ever tell me what evening meant. They just put evening on things. I'm like, okay, so is that 6, 5:30, 7?
Mm-hmm.
So any feedback from the public is welcome. So we just fell into 5:30.
Okay.
So you are right. That is our common night.
Well, gosh, we got to... How do we want to... Yeah, go ahead.
Can I just do a couple of really quick things?
Yeah,
and then I know you
want
to move on to Jennifer here and get some nuts and bolts. We're always promoting Natural Connections and all, but I also want to let folks know on January 18th, we have a sewing workshop at the library, and we'll be making scarves and neck warmers. We have the sewing machines. We have the materials. We just need your interest, and come on out and... all free. And that is, you do need to register for, because we have a limited amount of sewing machines. And then also, we do have a sewing machine, by the way, in the Library of Things. So if you want to check one out to mend your stuff, that works too. And then, no, I don't see any holes in your shirt. You're safe. I guess it's just my mending pile.
I do have a sweater not unlike this that I think has a little hole in it that okay, anyway, go ahead.
And also I wanted to let people know, especially in wintertime, I know we can folks who are homebound who aren't able to get out, either maybe because they're just at that point in life that they're homebound, or maybe they have a disability, or maybe they were skiing a little too vigorously and had some consequences that, don't work in their favor, and they're homebound, we have services to bring your library to you. And a lot of people aren't aware of that. It's a really, really beneficial. Anybody in our district, if you're homebound and can't have somebody, if you can't get out and you can't have somebody bring you things, like if you don't have a family member who can bring, you can get books, you can get CDs, you can get things from the Library of Things, anything. And so I encourage you to reach out to the library. You can go onto our website and apply. It's a wonderful, wonderful service that she has more room in her schedule. She'll bring it to your door. So very important.
Okay. Let's take a music break before we get into the heart of Natural Connections and Jennifer to talk about bitters. And on Tuesday, Peter Yarrow, Peter, Paul, and Mary passed away, and someone whose music I have enjoyed for a number of years. We're going to play probably the song that he is most known for. Here is Peter of Peter, Paul, and Mary with Puff, the Magic Dragon, the story of little Jackie Paper.
The magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolee. Little Jackie Paper loved that rascal Puff and brought him strings and sealing wax and other fancy stuff. Oh,
Peter, Paul, and Mary with Puff the Magic Dragon that appears on their second album called Moving. And I think I saw them live and in person back in pre-Jack years.
Yeah.
1962.
Really?
Yeah.
62.
At the Stepan Center on Notre Dame's campus.
Wow.
And okay. It was exciting and thrilling. He passed away. Only one is left now, Paul And. They came out with a series of individual albums, Peter, Paul And, and then Mary. We are here with Jennifer and Joyce, and we're going to focus in on an event at the library on the 25th, a Saturday, but we're going to have another person from the library come on the 23rd. So we're going to focus in on, it's a four-event day. So Joyce, why don't you set up
okay.
Jennifer.
All right. Well, we have Jennifer, and I would like her to focus. You know, everybody can't always come to these programs, so I want people to get a little bit of a taste, but also to know.
I see what you did there.
Oh.
A little bit of a taste, huh? Hmm.
Oh. Okay, I'll give it away. Her theme of her talk is going to be embracing bitters. And I should mention, it's not a talk. It'll actually be a workshop. You'll get to take something home with you. Ooh, but I won't give it all away. I'll let Jennifer kind of promo her thing. But it'll be at 1 o'clock on the Saturday, January 25th Natural Connections program. And I'll just give the lineup really quick so people can get a sense of what else to expect. It's the National Seed Swap Day, so we'll be exchanging seeds all day. And there'll be a program on saving seeds at 10, garden planning at 11, Jennifer doing embracing bitters and why we should. Mm-hmm. At 1, and then maple tapping at 3 p.m. And yes, we can tap maples here for maple syrup. And you'll even get a kit if you would be so inclined. So that'll be at 3. And like Jim said, Kelly from the library will be talking about that right before the event. So we thought we'd get a chance to get a little bit of content, learn a little bit about what it's like to be a naturopath, which is what Jennifer is. And what that involves for our community, and a bit about bitters. So, Jennifer, why, you know, on the break, I have to give it away. Jim was asking about apple cider vinegar. Is that a bitter?
I would consider that sour.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
But it has similar effects. So when we, most of our diets these days are pretty bland. I mean, maybe we'll spice it up a little bit with some chili powder, some ginger. But how often do you really eat something that's bitter?
Can you define bitter? I mean, what, you know, we use that word, you know, we talk about bitters. What's a bitter?
Well, have you ever dug up a dandelion in your yard and eaten it?
Not intentionally. It's been a long time since I did that.
So dandelion is our classic bitter.
Mm-hmm.
There are a bunch
the
of
whole thing.
The leaves for sure.
Leaves mm-hmm. for sure. But,
and the roots at some parts of the year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
The other prominent bitter that our cocktail drinkers would be very familiar with
is
Angostura bitters. I think that contains gentian root, and that's a very strong bitter. Our ladies who are into herbs would know motherwort, and that is a beautiful, very bitter herb as well. Not the root, the plant. Mm-hmm. If you take chamomile and steep it as a tea long enough, those bitter flavors actually do come out as well. So this is just it's a very distinct flavor, taste. We have bitter taste receptors throughout our mouth, through our intestinal tract, even in our lungs. So lobelia is another plant. And it's a very bitter herb. You use it in teeny tiny amounts, and it helps with cough, actually. So these are bitters are herbs and foods. So there are foods that are bitter too.
Mm-hmm. Like what?
The ones that come to mind, the frizzy lettuce.
Okay.
Arugula.
Oh, of course. Mm-hmm. Rocket.
Mm-hmm. Radicchio.
Okay. Yeah.
That purple.
Yeah.
Kind of bizarre thing. A chicory is mildly bitter.
Ah, okay.
Okay. Cool. So there are a couple of things out there that are bitter. So this flavor stimulates digestion. It improves metabolism and generally supports overall health. Because when we get our digestion moving, we're all just kind of happier and mellower.
So dandelions are good.
Yeah.
Boy.
I kind of judge a lawn by the number of dandelions that they have.
you can eat all parts. You can utilize all parts.
Yes.
The root is like a coffee substitute mm-hmm. that people use. The leaves are a wonderful green. People put them in their omelets salads. Mm-hmm.
And you can make wine out of the flowers.
Dandelion wine, that's right.
I was going to say fritters. I can see where she's going here. But I was going to say they make little fritters out of the flowers. So dandelions are your friend as long as people aren't spraying them.
You judge a lawn by how many dandelions they have, as in you like the...
Yes,
I'm
looking for the dandelions.
Come by our house in the late spring. Boy, they are everywhere.
Exactly. We got a new harvest spot, Jennifer.
Well, I don't know if I should give it away, but traditionally in the past, that empty field, they'll probably get upset with me for saying it, near the health club on... Pine Street, you know, that field is just rampant with dandelions. And that's where all the seeds come over into our lawn. But that's okay. You know, I mean, but I don't eat them.
I have plenty of them. So are you going to have suggestions on what to do with the dandelions that grow naturally?
Actually going to be making two different types of bitter tinctures. So a tincture is an extract, usually using alcohol. So we are going to be using alcohol in this. You could use apple cider vinegar, but it extracts different compounds.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to be using alcohol, and I have two recipes. So everybody will get to make, if we have just the number of people signed up, everybody gets to make two different kinds of bitter tinctures to take home.
Mm-hmm.
If we have more people, then it'll be like pick your own.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a pick your own adventure day.
Okay.
And I will have actually some, I may bring some produce for us to snack on, like radicchio, just for people who haven't tried that yet.
Uh-huh.
And then some of the herbs that we'll use in making that tincture, I will actually bring enough so that we can taste test before we actually put them in our little jars.
Okay. And then what will you do with the tincture? What will the people who attend do with the tincture once they...
I will give them recipes that they can make once it has steeped. So a tincture actually has to steep for a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then at home, they will strain it. And then they can either make a mocktail or they can make a cocktail.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I approve of this. I like this idea quite a bit. So you've got the bitters... I mean, this will be I know in other mixology, the bitters are a very tiny part of a recipe usually. Is this more, this will be...
This is a prominent.
A prominent part prominent. Of the recipe.
I love my bitters. Uh-huh. I occasionally have been known to like go through people's gardens looking for the bitterest thing.
Okay.
And it's not just for, you know... When you were referencing it more like with cocktails and things of that nature, Jack, but it's really more about our digestion system.
Yeah.
It's really about a health benefits for it. And that's just one way people get it. I mean, you can put it in your tea, you can put it in your water, you can put it in your food, the tinctures, I mean, any of that sort of thing. And you know, she's going to get into why do bitters matter and why when you don't have it in your diet, what can happen as well as... You know, how to incorporate it in many ways.
It says here that nature's secret weapon for better digestion, balanced energy, and emotional grounding. I want to hear about emotional grounding with bitters.
So I work with women in midlife, and when we're at that age, we get a little stressed out.
Okay.
And so a lot of the anti-stress herbal blends... the ones that work best have a bitter herb in them, and they taste absolutely vile. But it is
surprise.
It is the practice of taking that bad tasting thing that kind of it chills out your nervous system. It's kind of the herbal version of the cold plunges. You know, we're doing something that we really don't want to do that is good for us.
So I've heard of taking bitters for health before, and in fact, it's been I've been given a little bit of Swedish bitters to say this will fend off a cold or something like that. Is it important that if I take the bitters that I actually like taste the experience, or can I just plug my nose and swallow and try to? Ignore the actual bitter taste. It just has to get to my belly.
Well, I can tell you that it will work better if it hits your tongue. Because that's where the taste receptors are.
Yeah.
When you start trying to do bitters in like a capsule, it's going to be much less effective.
Okay. I don't actually mind the bitter taste too much. I know some people, it, you know, makes them gag and they find it very unpleasant. Like, you know, it's almost like apple cider vinegar or something like that. Something that just is repulsive. But I don't know. I don't mind a strong flavor. This is, I guess, this is really interesting because these herbs that you're going to use, this isn't like an expensive, very far away or foreign kind of thing that we have to import from Italy or something like that.
No, it is definitely not
expensive.
You're
doing this in your,
And it is not scientific. I have a recipe that I'll be sharing with people, but when I make my own bitters at home, I'm kind of not so sticking to the recipe.
It's like old traditional cook. A little of this, a little of that.
I learned how to cook from my grandmother who didn't use recipes.
So what's your favorite bitters?
Oh, I've got so many that it's hard to tell right now. I'm taking a blend right now that I actually didn't make, and I got it from an herb company up in Canada, and it has a valerian root in it, it has motherwort, and it has a couple of other herbs that we more associate with sleep. It has hops, and I think it has catnip and passion flower. But I'm taking it because I'm at that change in life, and the hot flashes kind of stress me out a little bit. And when I get stressed out, the hot flashes get worse. And so I kind of keep my nervous system grounded with this absolutely vile tasting.
Do you just take like a teaspoon of it, or do you mix it in something? Or
I'm a purist. It just goes straight on my tongue.
So folks will learn about bitters and get to taste them make them and learn how to go home and make them for themselves. That's kind of one of the things we really focus on with these. And, you know, Jennifer didn't share any of her background, but she comes from the naturopathic perspective. And I don't know, is there something you want to share about that? Some people in our community aren't familiar with that, so they kind of get a context of where you're coming from.
So naturopathic medicine is a holistic medicine. We bring together body, mind, spirit. In fact, I don't even think about that distinction in our bodies. You are a whole person. What happens in your big toe might affect your brain, for instance. Because, you know, you stabbed your toe and now you're distracted. And so all you can think about is that big toe that you stabbed. The fundamental principle is that nature can help us cure everything. And I actually believe that we all have our own capability to heal whatever ails us within ourselves. So we focus on, I bring a little bit of modern science. I'm a PhD trained scientist and traditional healing as well. So I love these herbs, but I also love walking in the sunshine.
With a cup of bitters.
Mm-hmm. Looking for the bitters.
There you go. There you.
What's your daily consumption personally of bitters? How much, I guess?
I'm usually taking something for sure in the evening.
Yeah.
For digestion.
Like every day. You're on a daily regimen.
On a daily. Yeah. Pretty much daily these days. Lately, occasionally my husband will make us an old fashioned.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
And I've got a couple of different flavors of bitters that we use for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I throw in bitter things into our salads. Mm-hmm. So actually I'm not up there as much as I would like to be, but you know, we're all trying to do better every day.
So let's say you're walking on the Bay Trail or Pine Street Woods. Are your eyes out looking for, I wonder?
I'm always looking at plants.
Okay.
Always looking, and you have to be careful about snacking on things because you never know who sprays what where.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so
including your dog.
Right. And the Bay Trail, you got to watch out for snakes in the summer.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, a friend told me about those snakes. I had been walking on the Bay Trail for 4 years. I had never seen the snakes. Mm-hmm. And then a friend told me that there were snakes
and
there.
You've seen them.
I've seen them ever since.
I haven't seen one at all.
Yeah. But in North Idaho, we only have two kinds of snakes, and neither are poisonous. Little gardener and your rubber boa.
But it's still shocking.
I like snakes. That to me is a good thing.
Yeah, fry them up with a little bitters.
No.
Okay.
Shock.
Okay. Well, anyway,
what's been? Did anything come to mind of your latest find while walking? Where, ooh, look at that! I have a friend who, when I walk with, he's always looking for mushrooms, and there's always mushrooms, you know. And is there a surprise that you've come across within the past couple of years where you go, whoa?
Not lately.
Mm-hmm.
I was. So where I live up Baldy,
okay,
and so our patch of land is a little deforested, and it's not very diverse. But I was really struck by the difference between the Oregon grape on our property and because it's small and scraggly, and then the bushes of Oregon grape that are at the Arboretum. Over by the sewage treatment plant. Because they just look so different. And Oregon grape is another one of those bitter things. The root is quite bitter.
It's always the root.
Root.
Not always, but it seems like because dandelion, you've got the leaves. But Oregon grape leaves?
I've never done the leaves. Yeah. With Oregon grape, it's the root.
Okay. Okay.
We've got some folks waiting in the wings from the Panada Theater, and it's a busy, very busy weekend at the Panada, I would say, not just in terms of their entertainment calendar, but this is, they're talking about big lobby renovations, and the public is invited to check that out. And we have some questions, I believe, for the director and the board members of the Panetta Theater, and we'll be asking those in just a moment when they come in. One more time, though. Now, we will have another guest from the library on before
the 23rd.
Before this event happens, but if you miss that, or just so you know, this Natural Connections, it's always what, four things? Three or four things.
Mm-hmm.
You've always come in and talked about it. I find them, there's always one or two that I'm interested in. This time, this whole program, I think, is for my personal sake, mm-hmm. this whole program, every single one of them, I want to go to the whole day.
I hope to see you then on the 25th of January.
I think he might be gone.
I think I'm going to, cancel all my plans. I'm staying just for the natural connection.
Perfect.
Yeah. He wants those bitters.
And just as a reminder to folks, if they want more details, go to www.ebonnerlibrary.org. Or give me a call at 208-263-6930 at extension 1103. And I'm Joyce Jowdy, the Community Engagement Adult Programming Coordinator at the library. Mm-hmm. So hope to see you all at the Sandpoint Library. And thank you guys so much for having Jennifer and I in today.
Oh, come back. Come back. I mean, and tonight is the Let's Talk About It series beginning at 5:30.
Scholar-led.
Firekeeper's Daughter. Yeah. And then next 15th, Spanish for Travelers. On the 25th, the four-part Natural Connections, of which Jennifer will be doing bitters.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. As we switch over to our next group of folks coming in, here's another Peter Yarrow song from his solo album. He wrote this in honor of his wife, and it sounds an awful lot like The Water is Wide. Here is Peter Yarrow with Wings of Time.
The wings of time will carry me over. The wings of time will carry me through. And the wings of time will bring me my angel. The wings of love will bring me you.
Peter Yarrow, who passed away on Tuesday, of Peter, Paul, and Mary from his solo album in 1971, Wings of Time.
Well, that was lovely, Jim.
I'm going to do a whole show on the folk show on Peter Yarrow and his music.
I'm not surprised to hear that. Well, I'll ask you about that later. tune in, I'm sure. Folk shows at 9 o'clock at night here on 88.5 KRFY on Thursdays. We're here now with Sean Babe, the board president of the Panetta Theater. And you're the executive director, Rob Talbot.
Correct.
A regular guest here on the morning show, executive director.
Hey, Jack, how we doing?
Well, I'm doing just fine. Nice to see you, Rob.
And Jim, good to see you too.
Happy New Year.
Good to be here. Happy New Year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Shout out to Jim Healy, longtime Panetta supporter and board member and president and volunteer extraordinaire.
Okay, we just ran out of time.
I had to get, sorry, Jim. I had to get that in.
Thank you, Sean.
Yeah. Let's start real quick. What is actually, for people who are just interested in kind of the entertainment calendar, what do you got going on at the Panetta coming up this week?
We got the one and only Soul Backcountry Film Festival.
Mm-hmm.
Selkirk Outdoor Leadership and Education puts this on. This is a big fundraiser for them. And for those of you that have been there, you know it's a good time. Dennis and Enjoy don't put on a bad event. It's always a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And these films are feel good, fun things that make you want to get outdoors, and also make you want to support what they do, which is get kids out into the outdoors and help make that happen for kids that maybe don't have the money or don't have the parents don't have the time to get them out there. So it's a really great cause. So come out Friday at 7 p.m. this Friday at 7 p.m. and come enjoy some good films and some good times.
And it's for the whole family.
It is for the whole family. Yes. Wife is out of town going skiing, but I'll be taking the kids in there and watching a few of the films. So it'll be good. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to it. We have the lobby renovation open house, which we'll be talking about here in a minute. That's on Saturday from 10 to 4. And then next weekend is Banff, Banff, Banff. Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night we have Banff. And I'm telling you, don't do the Sandpoint stall on that. It's we are running out of tickets quick. It sells out every year, especially Friday and Saturday. And this year we have the option to get the full weekend pass, so you can get a ticket for all 3 days, which drops the price down per day a little bit, which was a great idea on Michael Bogue's part.
That's the 17th, 18th, and 19th, the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Correct. Yeah, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 17th, 18th, 19th, 7 p.m. Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday is at 6 p.m.
Right.
Then we have the Jazzy Nutcracker presented by Studio One on Thursday, January 23rd. And then last, well, we got two more things coming up in January. We have Saturday the 25th, we have Hundreds of Beavers, which is a slapstick comedy, kind of indie film that's become fairly popular. And I'm really excited to see how it goes. I've been hearing a lot of people looking forward to hearing it and seeing it on the big screen. So come out January 25th, and we have two showings of that, one at 1 p.m. and at 6 p.m. So come out and join us for that. And then rounding out the month, we have Living Voices, The New American, presented by POAC. And that is January 31st at 7 p.m., Friday, January 31st at 7 p.m. So we got a pretty good month, pretty diverse shows, and a lot of fun, obviously. So come join us for one, two, or all.
That's an incredible lineup, and you can always go to panada.org.
/events to get the specifics on that.
Information and get tickets online.
Correct.
Well, the big news, the big deal at the Panada is proposed changes coming. And if you, there's a few different options, but things might change. And we're talking about actually changing the structure of the building a little bit. The interior of the lobby space.
Yeah, we got to be careful if we say structure of the building.
Yeah, we got to be careful.
Gallows will be in the park by the time we get out of here.
You guide me on the language that is most appropriate to use. But it's, I mean, it, but I would say it's more than just interior decoration. It's a little bit of a change. It's you're not just talking about putting up a new coat of paint. You know,
We've got to be really. You know, we want to be very mindful that this is a nearly 100-year-old building, and the space has historic value. You know, some of you that know me know that I was a history teacher for about a decade in high school history teacher, and you know, history is very important to me. I restored the Maddox Farm in Virginia. I did a restoration on that property, which is a 150-year-old building at this point. So I love history. I love the idea of making something that has been there for a long time, that's old, retain its historical character, yet be more functional for modern people. You know, we're not 5'7" and 143 pounds anymore. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I never was. But humans aren't that size anymore. So we really need to look at how we can use the space that we have a little more efficiently. While retaining that historical character. And we've got a few ideas on how that might happen, how that could work. And that's what we're going to be really talking about pretty heavily and showing people the ideas and the concepts. It's hard to show that here on the radio, obviously. But we're going to be looking at these concepts and have these out for people to ask questions and talk to us about and give us their feedback on Saturday.
Yeah, so the board's been tasked with deciding one of four options that were brought to us by some staff, community members as well, and volunteers. So we're looking at four different options. You can see them in the window space if you're standing in front of the Panada to the right of the front door that used to be a photography studio. Those plans are up there now. And Saturday's really going to be about the plans being available and board members being there to answer questions from community. We understand it's a community-owned theater, that a lot of people have a lot of strong feelings about the building, and we want to get as much public input as possible. So Saturday is very important to attend if you have if you have ideas or have a voice that you'd like to put into this, because the goal of the board is to come to some resolution in the February meeting on which direction we want to go and which plan we want to pursue.
You guys, I believe, kind of presented the first presentation of these four options was at your last regular board meeting. Is that correct?
We've done a couple presentations. We've done one for donors and patrons of the theater. We've done one for volunteers. We did one primarily, or the first one we did was for board members only to see it.
Sure.
This is the one that's just really advertised. We received feedback from the volunteer one that not enough people in the community knew about it or were getting to put their voice in. So we decided to have an open house that's free. Everybody can come to.
Yeah.
And it's in the big theater. We'll be there all day. So if you can make time, it's important to come down and get your voice heard.
Right. So, and yeah, you're making that effort now to get, yeah, to get the public's input. What else has been kind of the can you characterize the feedback that you've gotten so far from the people who've seen it? I mean, what are people saying? What is the response that you're getting to these, proposed changes? A lot of strong feelings, a lot of.
Yeah, I mean, generally, the people with strong feelings are the most vocal. Everybody has given us feedback that something needs to happen.
Yeah.
The congestion in the lobby on large sold-out events is obviously an issue we've dealt with for a lot of years. Being able to use the bathrooms, being able to get concessions, all that has been an issue for the Panda. So, you know, some people want to see a minor footprint change, and some people are open to a rather large change, the biggest change being a full blowout from the main lobby into the little theater to increase the size of the lobby that much. For anybody that's concerned about that, we're actually in an easement plan with the State Historical Preservation Office now. So anything we do has to be approved to federal standards of historical building preservation. So the main focus is that as you enter the lobby of the Panada, the concession stand will not be in the same spot, but that as you walk in, the feeling of the Panada will be the same. It won't feel like you're walking into a completely different building. And anything that happens if we move into another space to the little theater will be done in a way that integrates into the structure that's there already, not changing the structure that's there.
Yeah. You are listening to 88.5 KRFY Pondere. It's 9 o'clock. Actually, it's a little after 9 o'clock. We're postponing Bird Note just a little bit while we talk to the Panada Theater. So, Sean Bame is the board president, and Rob Talbot's the executive director of the theater, talking about these changes that might be coming to the library. Is anybody
Panada?
Oh, what did I say? To the library.
Changes could come to the library,
you know,
too, but we're not here for
that. I'm pouring a cup of coffee here. Okay. I've been talking to a lot of people this morning. Okay, I'm turning this card over.
Yeah, you're looking at the library card.
Exactly. No, changes coming to the lobby at the Panada. Is anybody, is there a group of people who say, don't change it at all. I love it just the way it is.
No,
yeah.
Not really. Even the most conservative voices we've heard have acknowledged the fact that where the concession stand currently sits, which is not historic to the building, is in a very bad spot.
Yeah.
It creates a lot of congestion. It blocks entrance and exit to the four doors that are naturally there. So the most conservative voices are saying something needs to happen.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, okay. The doors are open. There's no admission fee to come and see this on Saturday.
That is correct. It's a free event. You're more than welcome to donate to the Panada. Funds matched by Ting.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ting, for matching those funds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ting's done a great job for us on that.
And if you want to have any idea what the challenges are, attend on the 17th, 18th, or 19th during the Banff Film Festival, and you'll get a very clear picture of some of the challenges facing a congested lobby and the use of the different facilities.
Well, and I would say, you know, as the one that's responsible for operations at this point and making sure that the Panada is financially viable, you know, the industry standard is basically that your concessions are a major part of what keeps operations going for theaters like this. And when people can't get the concessions that they want, when we have limited concessions due to limited space in a concession, the concession stand, or limited beer selection, wine selection in the bar area, when those things are limited like that, and we don't have the opportunity to bring in things that increase our revenue stream through concessions, that is also a concern. mm-hmm. as well. So like trying to make sure that we're financially viable for the next 100 years as well. Because when the theater was originally built, there was no concession stand. There were no concessions. People brought in their own stuff from wherever, if they brought anything in, and it just wasn't part of the financial system at the time. There was a concession stand built in the, I believe it was the 50s, and it was put right there against the wall against the main theater. Mm-hmm. The one, you know, as you walk in, that's where the first one was. And that was kind of the, you know, that one was actually nationally renowned. It's supposed to be a nice one. And so that kind of talked, you know, just kind of thinking about some of the evolution of how these theaters actually stay financially viable. Mm-hmm. And that's part of what we're looking at too, is like, how can we, again, keep that historic feel of the space, but retain viability, whether it's people wanting to be there because it's crowded or not too crowded. Hopefully we can expand the bathroom so people can actually get to the bathroom at intermission. Mm-hmm. You know, I think originally they only had one or two bathrooms. It wasn't a lot of restrooms. The currently the men's restroom was a crying room.
It was a cry room. Absolutely.
So I think they only had one restroom. The ADA restroom was a storage closet, I believe, originally. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at making some changes. There are a lot of things that people think right now that are original. Ticket booth, for example, was put in the 80s, not original. Mm. And there's a lot of things that people have seen for so long that they think are original that are not. So we want to make sure too that, you know, if you have any questions, this is the time to ask. People get protective of stuff, think it's historically necessary to save, and, you know, like the concessions or the ticket booth, and maybe they are. Maybe they do have some cultural importance, like the sick chicken mm-hmm. on the north wall. You know, that mm-hmm. has some cultural importance. But maybe they don't. You know, we did change the crying room isn't kept. The crying room is now a bathroom. Yeah. So like what changes are you, the community, okay with? Come talk to us about that.
Well, this is going to be an interesting event. Do you have any, I guess, where are we in the process? You got the January 11th is your next open house. You get feedback from that. And then.
Yeah. Then the follow up to that will be the board meeting in February, which is the first Thursday. I believe it's the sixth.
Mm-hmm. The sixth at 6:00.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one thing I wanted to add about Saturday is like looking at the plans is one thing. But if you can come down Saturday, we'll have access to all spaces open and we can walk people through so they can feel what the changes are going to be and what we're actually talking about. Looking at the plans sometimes doesn't get it out there. But so my goal as president of the board is to drive the vote forward to see if we can come to some resolution at the sixth meeting mm-hmm. on February 6th that this is the plan we're going to pursue. Based on which plan we're going to pursue, that will start the construction process as far as getting construction drawings that can go out to bid mm-hmm. for contractors. Right now, we just have design, pretty basic design drawings. We didn't want to spend a ton of money getting full bid set drawings if we weren't going to go in that direction. So that'll be the next move. And then based on the plan we pick, there's some that are super easy and lower cost to do. There's some that are rather large and very costly to do. So that'll determine the time it takes to make the actual changes.
So this Saturday, the 11th, from 10 till 4 at the Panetta Theater.
There we go.
Yes, sir.
Good. Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Rob, for coming by. Good to see
Thanks, Jim
both
and Jack.
Of you.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'll see everybody tomorrow night at Backcountry Film Festival, right?
The Soul. Yeah. And then, let's see, today's the 9th. On the 16th, someone from the Panetta will be here to give us an update on how Saturday went.
Most definitely.
Okay. Sure. Thank you guys so very much. Cool.
Thanks for having us in.
Good to see you.
All right. I think it's time for Bird Note. Thank you, birders, for your patience. And then we'll continue with Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long. After that, you're listening to 88.5 KRFY Ponderay. This is Panhandle Community Radio. Thanks for joining us for the morning show today.